Welcome to worship tonight. It's great to see so many folks in the Village Center again. So, my name is Chuck Carpenter. I'm one of the co-directors with my wife, Stephanie. And it's my privilege to welcome everyone, and especially welcome the folks that just came in today. I've got kind of a long list, so bear with me. When I read your name, if you could please stand up for a couple seconds so we can acknowledge you. And if I mispronounce your name or your town, which I probably will butcher a few, if you could just kind of yell out the correction, I'd appreciate that. And at the very end, we'll give everybody a round of applause at that time. Welcome, everyone. So, also my privilege to send out part of our tradition and liturgy of the life of Holden is to send out all those that are leaving with a prayer. And it's my privilege to say a prayer for those folks, or those people. If they could stand up, please, for a second, and I'll lead us in prayer. Let us pray. Ever-loving God, whose Son gives himself as living bread for the life of the world, fill these brothers and sisters with that life. Sustain them in their journey to serve you continually through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Thank you.
Good evening. I'm Scott Kirshner, Village Pastor here at Holden. I hope that everyone has or has access to one of these white folders that you'll need for our Vespers service tonight. You may have to be sharing one with a person next to you. We are very full here tonight. Vespers will be tonight a themed Vespers based upon the theme of the program for the week, which is A Little Yeast. And our principal worship leaders will be Mary Preuss, Tom Witt, and Susan Briel. Welcome to Vespers.
The peace of the risen Christ to be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Holy God, holy and mysterious, your power is hidden in weakness, your presence in the stranger, your majesty in the ordinary. By your grace, give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and hearts to receive you wherever you draw near. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Savior.
A reading from Matthew. Jesus put before them a parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of flour till all of it was leavened. Word of God, word of life. A reading from Martin Luther. This parable tells of the leaven which the woman mixes in 3 measures of meal until it is thoroughly leavened. The new leaven is the faith and grace of the Spirit. It does not leaven the whole lump at once, but gently and gradually we become like this new leaven and eventually a bread of God. This life, therefore, is not godliness, but the process of becoming godly. Not health, but getting well. Not being, but becoming. Not rest, but exercise. We are not now what we shall be, but we are on the way. The process is not yet finished, but it is actively going on. This is not the goal, but it is the right road. At present, everything does not gleam and sparkle, but everything is being cleansed.
The kingdom of heaven, the reign of God, the dominion of the holy is like yeast that a woman took and mixed with 3 measures of flour until it all was leavened. A domestic scene, fond and familiar, a woman making bread. Not some throw together recipe, no, some catch-as-catch-can task, but skilled labor, artful work, learned as an apprentice at the hands and the side of a mother. A domestic scene with a domestic task, and yet an ancient practice. Handed down from generation to generation, heard and known and learned from our elders. It's a domestic scene, but also a domesticated yeast. Humankind has known how to use the power of yeast for millennia. Archaeologists have found buried in ancient Egypt artifacts, tools, bowls, spoons, ovens built for the baking of yeasted bread. They have discovered art, pictures of bread and ovens, bread rising and risen, more than 4,000 years old. Jesus knew domesticated yeast. It is a domestic picture of domesticated yeast, but also an iconic image, this woman making bread, this making and baking and breaking of bread is like an icon, a small window, a little picture through which we can gaze and see a whole culture, see a whole way of being human together, a whole way of feeding the hungers of the household, of caring for the crops of the land, of learning to use tools and to teach the young, of setting a table for those who need nourishment. But this domesticated scene of making bread has also become simply a shallow image. 25 years ago, early in our second call, because the government had graciously created this first-time homeowners low-income special interest rate, we were looking for a house, and we visited many, and finally were shown one for sale by owner. It should have said, for sale by shrewd steward. We walked into the back door of the house at 912 120th Street, and I immediately knew in my heart that this was my home. The deal was done. The price barely mattered. That there was a throw rug thrown over the huge stain in the living room carpet wouldn't have mattered if it even had been shown. I'd come home. This is where our table would be. This is where the domestic scene would be reenacted time and time again. A woman making bread to nourish her household. Only later did I learn that as I had walked in the back door, the shrewd housekeeper had put into the oven a little glob of white take-and-bake dough to fill the house with the scent of bread. Not that she had labored over, not created for the nourishment of a hungry household, not an art or a practice handed down from generation to generation, but a line in a book sold to those who would sell their own homes. Fill the house with the aroma of bread. It says, home. I had been caught. I had been sold. I had fallen in love with the aroma of an imaginary memory of a childhood filled with a kitchen of baking bread that I never had. A domesticated scene with domesticated yeast, reduced now to the aroma of a manufactured memory of a childhood that never happened. The scene is domestic and the yeast domesticated, and yet we would be unwise to think that the parable is just the story of a woman putting leaven in the flour until the whole batch is light and aromatic. Toward the end of this 13th chapter of Matthew, Matthew says that Jesus said, "I speak in parables." In fact, Matthew says he says this to fulfill the prophecy. Actually, Matthew was citing a text of a memory that isn't even in existence. No prophet said this. But it is a paraphrase of the psalmist who says, "Listen, my people, and mark each word. I speak in parables. I speak of mysteries rising up from ancient depths heard and known from our elders." Jesus speaks in parables, in stories dark, in riddles, in things raised up from the center of the earth, from before the memory of humankind. Jesus speaks in words that evoke for us the time before time when God first spoke life into the world. "I speak in parables," Jesus says, "sayings that are stronger and wiser than your own imagining. I speak actually of a yeast you cannot control." Oh, here's a little picture of a woman sprinkling just enough into the flour, but let me remind you, you don't know how it works. It wasn't until 150 years ago or so when Pasteur, that medical microbiologist, began to figure out exactly what was happening with this unicellular fungi. No, the image in the Bible is not of a unicellular fungi. It's of a mystery. It's of a power beyond humankind. It's the image of something that actually simply floats in the air, because this woman mixing in a little bit of yeast actually knows that the chances are she just leaves the flour out there with a little honey in it. Overnight, some of that yeast floating in the air, sticking on our skin, hidden along the leaves of plants, growing in our intestines, present in the diaper rash. She knows, in fact, that just free floating yeast will likely come upon this flour and bread will rise. It's only by the grace of God that she at this moment can hold in her hands a power she does not understand and put it in service to the feeding of the hungers of her household, in the baking of bread, in this ancient practice. Maybe Luther did have it right that this leaven is the grace. This leaven is the gift of the Spirit, granted to us in order that we, in fact, might become the bread of God. That wild spirit that blows from where we do not know, that spirit that evokes gifts out of strange and unusual places, that spirit beyond our control, that spirit that actually will take us to places we don't want to go, that spirit, in fact, that will sprinkle us with a yeast that, when we're not watching, not only will make the bread rise, but in the baking will lay down its life. The yeast, you know, it dies to make the bread. This little living but looking dead thing dies in order that there be bread and life and food. Jesus put before them a domesticated parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed with 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened. The reign of God is like that yeast that will come where you don't expect. You, the makers of bread, sprinkling your little yeast into the flour. Watch out. The wild stuff is growing a life where you least expect, coming down upon your skin and your babies and the world and your enemies and those ordinary places and those ordinary people. That wild yeast is at work even while you are sprinkling just the right amount into your bread. That yeasty spirit making of you what you cannot make of yourself. the image of Christ, bringing life and dying in order that the world be raised.
Respond in song on the back last page of your supplement, where the Spirit is.
Tonight, you will respond. Send your Spirit.
Send your Spirit.
So first I'll sing to you.
Spirit, let us pray. Let us pray for Christians everywhere, that they may have grace and faith enough to trust God above all else and to love their neighbors as themselves.
Spirit.
Have love and life.
Let us pray for the healing of the forests, fields, and prairies, for the restoration of wilderness and waterways, for Railroad Creek Valley and all who labor to heal its wounds.
As love and life, O God, send your spirit.
Let us pray for those in positions of power and influence, that they act for the good of all people and work for justice, peace, and reconciliation.
Suffering hardship, those who are hungry or homeless, those without work or rest, those who are ill or dying, and all who care for them.
Let us pray for this assembly, that we might be enlivened by your Spirit, renewed in our callings, and raised to become your bread for the sake of the world.
Let us give thanks for the saints before us, signs of your yeasty presence among us, that their witness guide our feet in the way of life.
Let us sing together in our songbooks. On page 2. The bottom of page 2, as trees from tiny seeds can grow. We're going to sing this to the Talus Canon. We'll sing all 4 verses together, and then we'll go back and sing verse 1 as a canon. And watch me, and I'll point out the sections when we get there. Please rise.
Thank you.
peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Go in peace. Live by the Spirit.
Thanks be to God.